The second reading is from the first chapter of Ephesians, verses 8b through 14. A reading from Ephesians. That he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption, it's God's own people, to the praise of his glory. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Then Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but it is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Dear sisters and brothers, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So I think it's pretty much mandatory to ask the question on All Saints' Day, who, after all, is a saint? Just who are we celebrating today? Well, as you know, on this day we pray in thanksgiving and remembrance for those we love who have died in the last year. They may be separated from us, but we are still united with them in what the Creed calls the communion of saints. The fellowship that we have with one another in Christ cannot be broken even by death. And so it might be quite natural for us to conclude today that sainthood is something that happens to us after we die. Well, that's not quite it. See, when the Bible uses the word saints, it just simply means people who are holy. But now here's the surprising thing. Saints aren't holy because of their heroic deeds or their amazing virtues. Saints are holy simply because they belong to God. To be a saint means to be someone who has been chosen by God. Now, the problem isn't that some people are chosen and other people aren't. Now, on the cross, Jesus died to redeem the world. All the world. When he was raised from the dead, he was vindicated by God as the Lord of heaven and earth, and that means everyone and everything. Jesus claims everyone. His love is not limited, it is for all people. just not everyone knows this or believes this. And that gets us to the question that Judas asked of Jesus. How is it, Jesus, that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Are you going to tell them, Lord, or are we just going to look foolish? Well, it might not be obvious, but All Saints' Day is all about the answer to that question. We'll get there in a minute. But first, we got to come back. Who is it that's qualified to be a saint? Well, the good news today is, believe it or not, whether you feel it or not, whether you look like it or not, you truly are qualified to be called a saint. This doesn't mean that you have to now be some sort of spiritual superhero. Again, it's not up to your accomplishments. Saints are simply people who know the incredible mercy of God. And in fact, saints desperately rely on that mercy. So you might have noticed something from our second reading today that Paul wrote from the book of Ephesians. There's this sort of tension in the way he talks about our life in Christ. He says, God has given us an inheritance and a destiny, and we are empowered now to live for the praise of God's glory. But then all of a sudden he pulls this little stunt, and it's pretty subtle. You might not have known it, but noticed it. But then he starts talking about the inheritance, the redemption, and the glory as something all coming in the future. Not yet. See, that's why saints are ridiculously dependent on the mercy of God. Saints know they haven't arrived yet. We are not yet the way that we will be one day. Until that day of resurrection, we are still fallen people in a fallen world. Saints are works in progress. People who need the patient, healing, redeeming love of Jesus. And if you take one thing home from today's sermon, here it is. Sainthood is not something achieved or earned. It is something received and learned. See, becoming a saint happens just by believing what Jesus says about you. That he loves you. That you are his. That he died and rose again for you. That's how you receive your sainthood. And once you receive it, then comes the life of learning it. We grow into this identity that's given to us. After the gift is given, then we start to live in line with it. And then that change in living is what the Holy Spirit does for us. The inheritance of glory is still to come, Paul says. But followers of Jesus today have the Spirit as a pledge towards everything that will come. And that Holy Spirit is the power of God to transform and renew you. One way the Christian tradition talks about the Holy Spirit is to use the name the Sanctifier. And you can almost hear in that, the Saint Maker. Jesus says that the Spirit will remind and teach us everything he said. Now, this doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit is like a teleprompter, just showing us words. What the Holy Spirit does is he takes all the teaching of Jesus, all his wisdom, all his love, all his compassion, and he puts it into our hearts and souls. To be taught by the Spirit is to be shaped and to be changed more and more now into the people that we will be in glory. In the present, we may very well be tempted and anxious and confused. But the Holy Spirit can keep that promised future right there in our sight. And being a saint is living in the light of God's future. And see, that's why Jesus answered Judas the way he did. Remember, Judas was wondering, Lord, why are you revealing yourself to us and not the whole world? Well, it's as if Jesus is saying he will reveal himself to the whole world. But how? Through his saints. Through us. That's how Jesus wants to make himself known to the world. When we live in the love and the mercy of God, it makes us different. And in a fallen and broken world, it makes us weird and strange. We start to become living reflections of God's goodness and power. See, someone who knows what it's like to be forgiven, someone who has known the peace of God in their hearts, even when their lives are going crazy, someone who is learning to walk in the way of Jesus, that person's different. Their lives give us a glimpse of the future glory that God has promised. So, All Saints is not just about those who have gone before us. It's an invitation for us to live in a new way here and now. And remember, sainthood doesn't mean you're supposed to be perfect. It doesn't mean you have all the answers, understand all the mysteries, and that you never stumble or struggle. It simply means Jesus claims you as his own. You are embraced by the unconditional, infinite love of God. And your future is glorious. No matter what the circumstances of your life may be, you can find peace knowing that your destiny is safe in God's hands. And as we come to believe that, it creates all sorts of new possibilities for us. This sainthood means that you can walk confidently through your struggles. Because you know they can't defeat you. You can wrestle against temptation. Because you know its promises are just lies. It means that doubts and questions don't have to drag you down. Because even though you don't have all the answers, you follow the one who does. Sainthood is about freedom. Freedom in the love and mercy of God for you to love and serve and hope and forgive. Because saints know firsthand that all the evil in the world doesn't stand a chance compared to the love of Jesus. Now I want to bring this down to the nitty-gritty of our lives together as a congregation. Today we begin our month, our annual stewardship program. We begin that time, and it's our favorite time of the year, isn't it? When we look at how our financial giving can support the ministry of Reformation. Well, here's what I want to put before you today. Being a saint impacts every part of your life. your relationships, your priorities, your attitudes, and yes, even your financial decisions. Here's what I want you to do this week. I want you to spend some time reflecting on all those different parts of your life and ask yourself, how would living today as a claimed, chosen, beloved saint of God change those parts of my life? How can you be learning sainthood in your relationships with your friends and family and neighbors? Look at your priorities and your attitude and ask, how might the Holy Spirit want to change that? And then how can you reflect the love of God in the way that you manage the resources and the money that He has entrusted you for your use? Sainthood, embracing all of life, is God's free gift to you. You don't achieve it or earn it. You receive it and learn it. Today, believe the promise that Jesus has chosen you. And together, we will learn to let that promise shape every part of our lives. Amen. Please stand.